Let's do this. The Cult of Hockey podcast by the faithful and for the faithful. I'm David Staples of the Edmonton Journal, and I'm here tonight on his cell phone, on his iPhone, Bruce McCurdy. Welcome, Bruce.
That's Arthur C. Clarke live on the video phone from Sri Lanka, man.
Childhood's end.
I don't know what my computer's doing tonight, but it's not wanting to sign into this call, but my phone is, so let's do this.
We've had endless technical difficulties in the last little while, Bruce, with this podcast. Finally, hangups. Yeah, finally doing it. We're finally united together again to do it.
Yeah.
And we have a technical, what's that, like makeshift solution? What do you call that?
Workaround. It's a workaround.
Good work. Okay. So this is the Cult of Hockey's Two Good Things, Two Bad Things, and Two Numbers podcast about Edmonton's 3-2 overtime loss to the Dallas Stars. What's your good thing?
My good thing tonight is an Edmonton native, but no longer an Edmonton Oiler, Taylor Fadun, returned to Edmonton today. Tonight he played his 50th game of the NHL season. And more to the point, today he was nominated as the Dallas Stars nominee for the Bill Masterton Award for dedication, perseverance, sportsmanship, and what a deserving candidate. Taylor Fadun is now 30 years old, David, and until this year, he played 46 NHL games with four different teams, starting with the Oilers. He was starting from way back when he was not drafted in the first place. He went to Princeton University, where he basically was a rocket scientist for 4 years. Like, this is a really, really smart guy. The Oilers signed him as unrestricted coming out of college. He almost made the team in his first training camp, and then he got run into the boards by Eric Nystrom, broke his femur. You'll remember that. And yeah, he missed the entire 2011-12 season with the broken femur. He spent the whole year in rehab, and he finally joined. That was the last preseason game he got hurt, and he finally rejoined the team to practice the last 2 weeks of the season. I interviewed him that summer at development camp. At that time, he was 24. He was the oldest guy in that camp, right? It's all kids. These are prospects. And here it is 7 years later, and he's finally in the NHL, 30 years old, after pursuing the dream through five NHL teams, five AHL teams, all the affiliates that he played more games with mostly, and now with Dallas. They had a few injuries early in the year. He came up, he played so well that when the injuries healed, they started trading guys off. And here's Taylor Fadun still playing a regular shift in the lineup. And all I can tell you is my hat is off to that guy. He played 12 minutes tonight. He's a third pairing defenseman, but he's in the NHL and he's living the dream.
I think the NHL finally kind of caught up to his game, Bruce. He's a smart puck moving defenseman.
Yep.
Not a great offensive player, but a really strong puck mover. He's like Jordan Osterley. And yep. Jordan Osterley's also earned a place in the NHL this year. Yep. And I put out a tweet saying, here's another one that got away, Taylor Fadun.
Yeah, I remember that. And
a lot of people were upset saying, well, you know, you can't really say this is the Oilers' fault for letting him get away. And he went to all these other organizations, didn't make it there. And that's a fair enough comment. I think my point is, you know, a while back I made this list of offensive defensemen who the Oilers had given up on. And for one reason or another, some of them good reasons, like Chris Pronger was demanding a trade out of town. It's just as almost every single year since Pronger's left, Bruce, on average, we've lost an offensive defenseman. Yeah. And Fadun is one of these puck moving players. And it just, my only point in pointing this out is that there seems to have been an undervaluing of or a predilection to not want puck moving defensemen in favor of other defensemen. And most recently, you know, the last six guys on the list are Taylor Fadun, Jeff Petrie, Eric Gustafson, Justin Schultz, Brad Hunt, and Jordan Osterley.
Wow.
And if the Oilers only had three of those guys right now, especially if one of them was Eric Gustafson, they'd be in the playoffs. Now, Taylor Fadun, I think, he's a right shot, isn't he?
He's a right shot.
And he's could easily be on the Oilers' third pairing. And could be. And Osterley on the bottom pairing, wouldn't be a bad bottom pairing in this modern NHL, although Andre Secker is ripping it up right now on the Oilers' bottom pairing. So, yeah, good pick, Bruce. So my good thing is I'm just going to go with the obvious. I just Draisaitl and McDavid have reached another stratosphere in the last few weeks of offensive play. They are just flying out there. And McDavid, that goal he scored tonight, I mean, we don't have to talk too much about it because it was just, you know, the between the legs, top corner, shelves it, and outstanding display of skill. My only disappointment, Bruce, he was so ready to take over the game after that. Yeah. And Dallas, of course, smothered him. You know, I think the next shift after that, Radulov tackled him up and down the ice, and there was no penalty.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go right to my bad thing.
Okay.
And that was the refereeing in this game. I don't think it's the Anaheim playoffs. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think I've picked on the refs for my bad things since that playoff series.
But no, it's not me that whines about the refs.
That's your shtick, yeah. So, but tonight there was just a couple things that really bothered me, and that was the one of the first was Radulov grabbing McDavid, and then a defenseman grabbed him and knocked him over. Come on, just call a penalty. It's an interference. Just call it. What are you doing? Like, wake up. Call the game. And then there was a call on Josh Curry, and the TV replay, as you were suggesting, he probably didn't show the real penalty because it didn't look like a penalty. Some kind of net play. But anyway, let's say Curry earned his penalty. I'll give the referee that he earned his penalty. In the second period, Curry's in the slot, and he absolutely gets jacked in the head by somebody's elbow and stick, and there's no penalty.
And then went down the ice and scored on that shift, the tying goal, right after that.
Exactly. There was quite a bit of mauling going on out there by the Dallas players as they were pushing their way back into the game that went uncalled. And those are the two most obvious ones. And it's just, I guess I have complained about the refs now that I think of it, not calling penalties on McDavid, but.
Well, they're part of the show. I mean, they deserve to be critiqued also. And I mean, most of the nights you want them just to be invisible, and more nights than not they are, but.
It was a terrible job tonight. I just thought, like,
well, they were down to one ref in their defense, Chris Lee.
Oh, that guy! We had.
He got taken down by Gambardella. There was a collision in the corner, and he left the game. So it was a one referee game, and it was still one referee too many. Maybe I don't know. I get so frustrated with these guys. I'll talk about it more in my number.
Okay, what is your bad thing?
What bad thing is execution in the shootout. The Oilers, Nuge scored a nice goal on his first shot. The Oilers got the lead in the shootout, just like they had the lead in the game, and they couldn't hold it. But the last four shooters, only one of them even hit the net with a shot. And that's three shootouts in a row they lost. They won the first three, and they lost the last three. And it was just poor execution. Draisaitl shot wide. McDavid fumbled the shot on his deke, didn't get any shot away at all. And Chiasson, I don't know if he was trying to kick a field goal or what he was doing, but he put it about 20 feet over the crossbar on his shot. And at least Gagne tested the goalie. But it was just a poor run of, you know, basically game on the line. You need to execute. And they just really didn't at that point.
Yeah, I have some sympathy for them. I mean, the puck's around, the ice is slippery, and there's pressures on. I mean, Chiasson just, he didn't mean to do that, obviously. He just blew his shot. And Draisaitl was trying to pick the corner.
Yeah, Khudobin might have got a little time. Khudobin, he was fantastic in this game. I mean, credit where due. Oilers outshot him 42-22. And Khudobin was just a stone wall in the net. He got lucky a few times. Pucks hit him and just dribbled by the post or over the crossbar. But he was full value. That poke check on McDavid in overtime, that was golden.
Yeah, I had the scoring chances at 10-7 for the Oilers. So they also chanced them. Mm-hmm. The Oilers' problem is if you start halfway through this or early in the second period, Dallas, in essentially the second half of the game, Bruce, and excluding the overtime, just the second half of regulation time, outchanced the Oilers 5-1. And really came on hard in that game. And
Now, once Dallas got back in the game from that power play goal and the Curry penalty, and we didn't even talk about the ref picking Draisaitl on the
That's
penalty
just
kill.
bad luck.
Yeah, I know, but
That happens. That's hockey.
The crap was going against us tonight, and that's just the way it was.
Yeah, my blood was rising when he said.
Doesn't mean
Yeah.
I'm going to be happy about it, right?
Fair enough. Fair enough. I was not happy either.
Neither was Leon, although they mentioned him barking at the ref on the broadcast, but they never came close to showing any footage of the aftermath of the goal.
It's frustrating because
he couldn't get to that puck and ice it, right? And instead they kept it in the zone and scored right away.
Yeah, so frustrating because McDavid and Draisaitl were so ready to take over that game. And if the refs had just called that penalty on Radulov, it should have been called, like send the message, no, you can't tackle them tonight. Those guys would have put up some, done some serious damage. McDavid was just, after he scored on that goal, he was like on rock. He was flying high. He was ready to go. And they just totally grounded him. Thank you, ref. Thank you, ref, for grounding the greatest hockey player in the world by letting by letting him be tackled and not calling the penalty, you doofus. All right. My number, Bruce, is six. So the Oilers had 10 grade A chances, six. Draisaitl and McDavid had six of them. McDavid had four, and Draisaitl had two. Man, those guys are fantastic.
And they were in on eight chances each of the 10.
As you looked at it.
I counted it up. Eight of the 10.
Yeah. So this is a good thing, eh? But it's also, it speaks to the bad thing about the Oilers, which is, again, they've got nothing. They got nothing. And they're not going to have anything. You know, my hope is that they can. So I see Marody and Benson making the team next year. Both a point of game guys ready to go. And they got to get one other guy, bring in one other guy. And I don't know if they're going to have the cap space or not, but, and I don't know who it's going to be, but they could bring in one solid attacker. Might be too much to ask. They might have to trade a fairly decent defenseman to get that player.
Well, I mean, obviously the status quo isn't cutting it.
No. Time to bring in another dominant.
I mean, you got two guys with 100 points, David. I think there's four in the entire league. You got two guys with 100 points, and you're way on the outside of the playoffs looking in. Like, it's not nowhere near good enough in the depth scoring.
Man, that Strome trade's looking bad, eh?
Was it ever? Strome's got 15 goals now since he went to New York, which is the most goals scored by any traded player this year with his new team, Ryan Strome. How's that for yet another kick in the whatevers by
Man, he surely made some terrible trades.
You just named him. I was going to call him He Who Shall Not Be Named.
I wonder if he has a nose on his face at this point. He made some. He did restock the farm system. I think that he did an excellent job of that. I mean, people are raving about Samarukov right now in the OHL. It's yet to be seen, of course, if Yamamoto or Evan Bouchard will turn out. And those two key picks, right? Like if you don't get your first round picks right, that's usually big trouble for you. And Yamamoto has had a really up and down year. He's been injured a lot. He's been okay, but not great in when he has played. Now Bouchard, of course, he's just been ripping it up in the playoffs, but some observers, including Craig Button, have expressed some doubts about his game. So we'll see. He sure can shoot the puck though. And the Oilers don't have to rush him. That's the good news. So Bruce, did you give your number?
No, I did not, but I'm about
What's your
to.
Number?
My number is one. And that one, that is the number of power plays that the Oilers had tonight. It's also the number of power plays the Oilers had last game, and the game before that, and the game before that, and the game before that, and the game before that. Six games in a row with one stinking power play for the entire game. Six in a row. And I mean, I'm looking out there tonight, and I'm seeing lots of sort of ticky-tacky borderline stuff, but they didn't call any of it. Chris Lee called the one penalty on Draisaitl, where Draisaitl blew end to end and he got hacked by the guy when he was trying to convert McDavid's pass, like 3 minutes into the first period. And during the power play, Kevin Quinn is saying, so it's 30 seconds left in the Oilers' first power play of the game. And I said to my wife right at that moment, I said, he hasn't been paying attention. He's calling it the first power play. It's probably going to be their only power play. Sure enough, 55 minutes later, no more power plays. And I saw Nuge at least twice, I thought were clear penalties. One, he got grabbed by a guy right in the slot. The kind of stuff they call all the time normally, nothing. And hauled down another time. McDavid, the mauling was normal. You mentioned the one on Curry and, you know, other ones and just nothing. And it's like power plays are off limits for the Oilers. You got one, boys. You better make it count. And to their credit, they scored three power play goals in those six games, and they got one tonight just after the one power play ended. And that was that. They got the lead, and it's like, oh, the scoreboard says Oilers are leading, therefore no more penalties. I didn't see that. That didn't happen.
You are a master at shivving the refs, Bruce. You're like,
well, they deserve to lose six games in a row with one power play. Give me a break.
Nobody does it better, man.
Enough already. Call the damn rules.
All right. Well, we figured out a way to get our podcast up and running, Bruce. I think we've run our course for the night.
We both shivved the ref.
Yes, you found a way. And you're like, I thought I was making this big comment, but man, you just put my comment to shame. You.
Six games in a row. Like, it's not just this one. It's like every.
I lit a match, but you dropped an atomic bomb.
Yeah, well, I might as well laugh.
Thank goodness the games don't matter. I mean,
really not, no.
No, I mean,
5 games left, 6 points back. It's, I mean, you need all the teams ahead of you to have 4-game losing streaks at this point.
I'd like to give some credit for the Oilers to be being kind of making it interesting in the season right till this late date. But really, it's on a handful of players who have made it interesting. Yeah, well, it's not the Oilers. It's a few talented players. And
yeah, well, this is true. It's that way. And that is the Oilers.
Oh God, yeah, what a disaster. Chiarelli's year, the last year he had, total disaster. Did any of, I guess, the chase on PTO and Koskinen, and I guess you could argue Koskinen on the one-year deal did work out in the end. For the 1 year. I'm not talking about the four-year deal that he signed, but just bringing in the one-year deal. That worked. But everything else, like Reeder, Brodziak, Spooner, Manning, Petrovic. It was just one colossal, screwed up, terrible, boneheaded move after another.
Yep. He had a disastrous season. So two ways to put it. Just disastrous. He made, you know, just a series of moves that just blew up spectacularly in his face.
All right, Bruce.
Cost him his job, and rightly so.
Yeah. Thanks for talking tonight.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everyone. And sorry for the workaround, but at least we got something going.
And in the meantime, and in between times, this has been another edition of the Cult of Hockey podcast.